It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Michigan and Minnesota and at least 10 other states have seen water utility systems hit with cyber attacks. These hacks can temporarily block utilities from supplying water in their area.
The federal government hasn't yet officially declared where the attacks are coming from, but the disruptions are largely targeting vulnerabilities in American infrastructure and in smaller communities where cybersecurity funding may be harder to come by.
In 2023, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency proposed increasing cybersecurity guidelines for water utilities. The EPA has since rescinded that order after getting pushback over funding challenges.
And then on Thursday, Washburn County announced it was experiencing a cyber attack, limiting county government services, but not related to water utilities. It's unclear if that attack is connected to the attacks on water systems around the country.
No Wisconsin water utilities have been publicly identified as a cyber attack target. But with more than 11,000 public water systems, Wisconsin has the most public water works in the country, according to the state DNR. Chris Groh is executive director for the Wisconsin Rural Water Association. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for the invite, and I'm glad to be here.
This hasn't hit, these cyber attacks haven't hit Wisconsin water utilities yet, as I understand it. I imagine you're following this story very closely. What are you hearing from your colleagues elsewhere who have faced these attacks?
We're not seeing a lot of actual talks with our members or with our customers. They're kind of being taken in by the FBI and other agencies. And, you know, what we're hearing from them is, you know, somebody's playing with their PLCs, somebody's turning off their pumps, they lost control of the system, things like that. And then, of course, we go into emergency mode. Oh, gosh, what else did they do to us? So, you know, we start looking around. But luckily in Wisconsin, we've not caught anything yet.
And that I wanted to ask you what the attackers in some of these cases are able to do, right? Because there's some kind of cyber attacks that are like, oh, we got access to the email system, maybe not so scary. It sounds like some of these attacks are worse than that, and they're actually managing to do things with the water system itself. Is that some of what's happened here?
Yeah. Let me take a step back and kind of sort of do a real short how the new water operations work these days. There's a lot of computers involved. We can remotely get into the system with our phones and turn a valve off, turn a valve on, turn the well on, things like that. And there are parts of the system that are more accessible with a phone, so it's called a cellular node. And those things generally are not backed up very well with a firewall or with passwords, unfortunately. So people that are doing this nefarious business here, they kind of poke around until they find a PLC that's not got a password or has a password that was very easily hacked. And at that point, what they've done is changed the password. So, you know, if you go into your computer and you type in your password and your password's not right, well, what the heck happened? Did I change the password and not know about it? Or, you know, we start thinking about that. And also on top of that, they have been able to change the IP address for the PLC, which brings it under their control totally, so they can do whatever they want. Most of what they've done so far is turn the PLC off, which means, for instance, you have a PLC controlling a pump that's pumping water into your water tower. As the people, you know, that you turn it off without, you know, the operator knowing because you took it away from them by changing the password. And as people use the water during the day, the tower has less and less water in it. And at some point, the pressure starts dropping. You know, water at a height creates pressure. So as that height gets lower and lower, there's less pressure in the system, which can cause what's called back siphonage, which means stuff from the outside of the pipe can start seeping into the pipe. And that gets out into the people's faucets and things like that. So that's kind of one of the things they've been doing that they've been discovered. That's what brought on the boil water notices that some of your listeners might have heard about in other states. There's other things they can do worse, but that's just what's happened so far. Basically, testing, turning things off, seeing if they're going to get caught, you know, things like that that are actually kind of setting them up for something worse.
Just to make sure I have this right, the PLC, that's the programmable logic controller. That's some of the
yes.
units that are controlling your systems there. Okay. Now, you work with rural communities, right, and probably smaller water departments. And in the attacks around the country, I understand they've been some of the targets here. What are the challenges facing a smaller operator versus, say, somebody in a bigger city?
Small operations don't have an IT person. They've probably got a clerk and one operator, maybe two, and neither one probably knows anything much about computers. Typically, your IT guys do IT work. They don't do water work. So, you know, they don't have the knowledge or the capability or the means of doing a lot of computer work with their jobs. So, you know, that's oftentimes why there's no password or a password that's not very strong. The disadvantage is there's no money to upgrade that, to hire an IT person. We don't generally charge a lot of money for water. So there's no base in a small system. You don't have a tax base like you do in a larger city like Madison, where there's a very large tax base paying the bills and things. So they're kind of isolated, sort of unaware. You know, they're aware they should be doing something, but what do we do? You know, and then they get caught.
How receptive are water operators in our smaller Wisconsin communities to this idea that, hey, maybe we should be taking this cybersecurity seriously as we can with our limited budgets?
I think a lot more now than before GLI 26. the ones that got caught are well aware of it. We've been dealing with cybersecurity, my staff and I, in rural Wisconsin, for a year or two. And we got the same thing with computer viruses as we did with the COVID virus. Oh, geez, that can't happen here. We're too small. It's not going to affect us. It's going to pass us by. And suddenly they're the target. They're aware, but I think without the means to do anything about it, they don't act like right away like they should.
And now there's old school hacking and now artificial intelligence and other threats out there. What do you have your eye on for the future of trying to make sure that our water utilities are as cybersecure as they can be?
I think the only way to fight AI is to use AI. Personally, I do not like AI. I don't like the fact that AI programs have escaped test environments and hacked other companies. The companies are saying, oh, we got to harden our defenses. Well, everybody's going to harden their defenses right now. So, you know, the guy in a really small town, maybe 50, 60 connections, has to have a really extensive IT hardening, cybersecurity hardening, to fight against something that is developed by a, you know, $1 billion a year industry that uses the AI to do other things, you know, a little bit, you know, worse than just turning a pump off. I guess, you know, the foreseeable future is we'll be fighting it. We'll be fighting it as best we can. The last scenario that we can do is just disconnect from the internet. That's a possibility with our industry. We can just totally not be connected. That's a little difficult now because manufacturers and troubleshooters and tech people, they can log in, look at the problem and fix it. Otherwise, they have to get in a car, drive out in the woods, you know, a couple hundred miles to find the little town and fix it there. And that brings in expense, which is another one of the sore points in this scenario, is the smaller towns don't have the money to afford that. So there is the option of just disconnecting in the end. So hopefully we're going to find some way of fighting it tooth and nail with our own developed AI, hopefully, in the water industry.
Chris, thanks again for joining us today.
Anytime. Thank you for the invite.
That was Chris Groh, Wisconsin Rural Water Association Executive Director. We're talking about this series of cyber attacks targeting water utilities across America. Those utilities are one of a number of public infrastructure works facing cybersecurity vulnerabilities. Now we continue our conversation with a look at the ongoing threat and what's being done to make public infrastructure more secure. Dave Schrader directs research at the Wisconsin Security Research Consortium. Dave, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks, Rob. Glad to be here.
All right, now we've got these often rural water utilities here. Now, and we've got Washburn County in Wisconsin getting hit with an attack. Not a lot of info about that. Do these local units of government represent kind of, from a hacker's eye, a low-hanging fruit, right? An easy hit where they can get in and do some mischief?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Smaller cities, counties, rural areas, you know, whether they're utilities or the government agencies themselves are targets. And a lot of times it's just the targets of opportunity. So whether it is a criminal ransomware gang type actor or a nation state, all of these entities are targets, and it is low hanging fruit.
And we heard from Chris Groh with the Wisconsin Rural Water Association there. Your local water utility is not, they don't have tons of money, right, to throw into fancy new cybersecurity systems. Do you see this as a problem where, whether we're talking about a local utility or unit of government, there's just not like funding there to beef up their cybersecurity?
Yeah, that's right. You know, sometimes there are grant monies that are available to varying degrees that have been available from the federal government in the past and continue to be available in certain ways. But at the end of the day, there is just not a lot of resources and people to provide the capabilities that these rural utilities need. And they are critical infrastructure. These are things that are considered life safety critical infrastructure: water, sewerage, electricity, things like that are incredibly important. And you end up having these utilities targeted. It's scary. The level of access that we've seen in other states, is enough to potentially cause problems. And we haven't seen the actor, which we think is the Iranian government, do anything that affects the safety of the water supply. But it's worrying. And these attackers are going to look for targets that they're able to get into and then start causing problems.
Let's look into what we know about these water utility attacks in particular. As you mentioned, we have some government officials saying Iran is on the suspect list. A lot of private consultants seem to be saying the same thing. What Yep. is it that points the finger toward Iran in this instance?
So in cyber, we have a saying where we say attribution is hard. And that just means that it's difficult to, with certainty, even sometimes when we suspect who it is, to be able to articulate that in a way that really draws that bright line to a certain attacker. But the way that we do it is we look at the tactics, techniques, and procedures, or TTPs, that an attacker is using. And so the TTPs that we see in these attacks, all of these water attacks that, now are, I think we're into at least 12 states, 45 different utilities, these are all consistent with the type of attacks that we see coming from the Iranian government. We've seen it in the past. We've seen it with other similar types of targets. And so that's how we make those identifications. And it's not just TTPs. It is, there is intelligence information behind the scenes that the government has access to that allows you to have that deeper level of fidelity on where these attacks are coming from. Sometimes down to specific individuals who are cyber operators in these organizations. And so that's how that attribution is done.
I want to talk about motivation a little. If there's a ransomware attack, well, they want ransom. It's somebody who wants money. With a foreign actor like this, it could be, hey, we want to disrupt things in the United States, or it could be, and I wonder about this, we want to show you, United States, who are currently more or less at war with, that we can do something like this to create a credible threat, sort of a disincentive to mess with them. What do you look at when it comes to the motivations of why an actor like Iran, a likely suspect, as you say, not 100% proven, why they would want to do this particular kind of attack?
Yeah, that's a great question. So they want to do this because in the cyber domain, this does not rise to the level of kinetic warfare. It's not the same thing as dropping a bomb or firing a missile. And, so it operates in this, what we call gray zone type activity, does not rise to the level of an act of war. And there's always that kind of open question about, even if it is Iran or whatever the attacker is, or China, in this case, we think it's Iran, it's kind of a, what are you going to do about it? type place that you're left in. But they do want to send a message. They want to send a message that, hey, we can get into your infrastructure. We could potentially cause problems, and whether they can or can't is another issue. But they want the perception to be there that, there's this fear that, a foreign actor is getting into something like our water infrastructure. Could they poison it? Could they change the, levels of chemicals? Could they? And they have done things like change passwords so that the utility operators themselves can't monitor their own systems and have to resort to manual operations, or don't have visibility into some of the monitoring that you really want a water utility to have into their own services. And I want to, on this point, also stress that this isn't the sort of thing where we should really be blaming the victim either, because a lot of these utilities do not have the resources to be able to properly protect the infrastructure, and that is a problem that we need to address as a nation. But we have this infrastructure distributed over, tens of thousands of communities and utilities across the country. And there's the amount of cybersecurity they have is all over the place. And again, that brings back to, to this fact that the rural utilities are really targets, and they're targets of opportunity. So if you have an actor like Iran doing this, it's because they want to try to send a message, but not rise to the level of inviting retribution.
What would it take? Maybe what kind of federal effort would it take to boost cybersecurity across the board for these many, many local utilities?
It is really resources, in the form of money. A lot of the issue is that the smaller utilities are struggling from a standpoint of having enough resources to do things like upgrade equipment, properly secure equipment, have access to the expertise, staffing, and other resources to be able to continue securing the equipment, because this isn't just a one and done. If you secure something today, it could be insecure again tomorrow. And with the introduction of things like AI hacking now, where you can have AI agents go out and try to find vulnerabilities that don't get tired, that can just go through a whole range of possibilities when you're looking at how to attack a certain target, that raises the threat level even more. And a lot of these utilities that are really operating with a lower level of resourcing are going to be even more vulnerable. So the way that we try to address that in the United States is, our civilian cyber defense agency at the federal level is the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, or CISA. And so there's a lot of debate right now about, should CISA's resources be increased? Should CISA's staffing levels be increased again? They let a lot of people go over the last year. And, now there's discussion again on both sides of the aisle about how we really need to beef up CISA's resources so that they can help address these problems.
Dave, we'll leave it there. Thanks, as always, for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Dave Schrader directs research at the Wisconsin Security Research Consortium. We've been talking about a series of cyber attacks on water utility stations around the country. Earlier, we heard from Chris Groh, Wisconsin Rural Water Association Executive Director.